It's a really exciting time at Foresters. In fact, just recently, earlier this spring, we announced that we have formally changed our marketing name to Foresters Financial. So it's much easier for you and your business that people automatically know what we do. So we've been around for over 140 years. We're an international financial services provider, and we operate in Canada, the US, and the UK. Our member base is well over 1.7 million members across all three countries where we do business. What is really different about Foresters is that our purpose is really to do more for our members and their community. And we do that a number of ways. So first of all, from a company point of view, one of the ways that we give back is through our national partnerships. So we have a national partnership with Ronald McDonald House, and I'll explain how that works in a couple of minutes. Also with the American Red Cross. And then lastly, with a company called Kaboom. Now, when I first started, I thought it was a fireworks company, and it's not. It's actually a non-for-profit company that is basically dedicated that every child has a safe and healthy place to play. And we've had our partnership with Kaboom now since 2006. We spent $11.5 million, and we've built 130 playgrounds across North America. We actually built one last year in Kansas City. And what's great about the playgrounds is we go in ahead of time, and each one of the playgrounds are designed by the kids in advance. So I've built, I'd say, about 44 playgrounds since I've joined Foresters. So I've built similar components, but I've never seen the exact same playground. So we kind of started at 8 o'clock in the morning, and the volunteers are our members, our agents, their families, and the community partner. And by 2:30 in the afternoon, we've built this beautiful thousands of square feet playground. The adults have the joy of shoveling the mulch by hand and mixing the cement. And so the playground's put together like a giant IKEA set almost. So that's one of the ways from a corporate standpoint that we actually give back. So again, we don't, we have fraternal status in the US. So the money that we would actually pay in taxes, we actually give away. So last year, for example, for our community initiatives, we gave away $10.6 million. And then as well in member benefits, we actually gave away $21.3 million. And I'll go through those member benefits with you as I continue my kind of discussion. So what's unique with Foresters is when your client actually purchases their insurance, they purchase what's called their certificate. And as a certificate holder, they automatically become a member. They're entitled to member benefits that could be worth thousands and thousands of dollars above and beyond the face amount of their policy. So I'm going to go through a couple of them right now. The first one is terminal illness. It kind of is what it sounds like. You can borrow up to the face amount of your policy, up to $250,000 or 25%. When you have a terminal illness. What's really different with that is it's interest-free. The other big member benefit that we have is our competitive scholarship program. So every year we award 250 scholarships worth just over $2 million every year. And what's great about our competitive scholarship is it's not based upon your marks. Your marks are only worth 35%. It's your community service hours that are worth 65%. We're just going through the winners right now, and what's amazing is the average community service hours are basically 800 community service hours over 3 years that some of these students have compiled. So every student can have $2,000 renewable for up to 4 years, so $8,000 for any post-secondary education, so university, college, trade school, anything like that. The application process opens up at the beginning of December and ends at the end of February. But the other thing that's really unique with our competitive scholarship program is not only can the member apply, but their children can apply, their grandchildren, and if they have legal guardianship. So if you do sell a lot of plant, you're speaking to somebody older, they can actually, by purchasing Foresters Financial Insurance, they can actually help their grandchildren leave a legacy for them to be able to go to school. I think the grandchildren, the percentage of the winners that there were grandchildren this year was about 28% of the total winners. I'm the kind of the youngest in my family, and I know that I was always my dad's favorite, of course, until my niece came along, and very quickly grandchildren take the place of their grandparents' hearts. The other scholarship program that we have is our orphan scholarship. So if something does happen to mom and dad, we will provide each one of the children in the household up to a maximum of $6,000, again, to go post-secondary education. Along those lines, we also have our orphan benefit. So upon the death of both parents or the sole surviving parent, we will pay $900 a month, every month up until the age of 18, to the legal guardian of those children for their support and maintenance. So not only will we provide them with the benefit, but they also will receive the orphan scholarship program. The other two benefits are helplines. So the first one is everyday money. And what makes this a little bit different is that anyone in the household, anybody can actually call everyday money. So if you've got a young college student coming back, and God knows credit card companies like to give students credit cards, and they have some debt, they could call Everyday Money and they would help them with their budgeting issues. They would help them, you know, with other tips and ways of financial kind of wellness and healthiness. They do not take over the place of an agent. And in fact, if the conversation leads that way, they always refer them back to their agent. So you can call, anybody in the household can call Everyday Money. You can call every day, all day. Our other helpline is called LegalLink, and that is deeply discounted or free legal services. And again, it's a 1-800 number. Your first 30 minutes of consultation is free with a lawyer, and then they can direct you to a lawyer in your local area. And these cover off things like wills and estates, home ownership, if you've got a speeding ticket, that sort of stuff. And again, anybody in the household of the member can call, and there's no limit to the amount of times that you can call. Not only am I a Forrester's employee, I'm also a Forrester's member, and my dad got ill last year, and so I had the power of attorney to actually sell his condo. So I called LegalLink, and somebody picked up. I gave them my first name, last name, my certificate number. How could I help you? They referred me to a lawyer, gave me their name, their phone number, email. They were really local to where I lived. Said if I didn't like the lawyer, I could call back and they'd refer another one. The lawyer called me in exactly 11 minutes, which I couldn't believe. And about 2 weeks later, the lawyer and the paralegal were in my house, sitting at my dining room table. We signed the paperwork, and it only cost me $325. Which I don't know what the legal fees are like in the US, but in Canada, that's pretty cheap. So again, that's a great member benefit. If you recently sold somebody a Forrester's policy and they have children, you want to talk to them about the orphan benefit. And if they don't have a legal guardian, they can simply phone LegalLink and they can get that service at a deeply discounted rate. The other way that we give back at Forrester's Financial is through our community grants program. We made the decision a number of years ago that it wasn't so much that home office would, or the head office would declare how our members could actually engage with us. So we created the community grants program. So right now every member has the right to apply to up to 2 grants per quarter, up to 8 per year. Each grant is the maximum of $2,500. Which means that they have access to over $20,000 to volunteer in their local community. So they could do things for underprivileged schools and make pencil cases or backpacks. They could provide game and activity books for retirement homes. They could help feed lunches to homeless shelters. They could go into a local Ronald McDonald House, because a lot of people don't realize that the Ronald McDonald houses provide a family with a free place to live, but they still are on the hook for their meals. So a member could apply for a grant, and them and other members in their local area could get together and actually go in and feed those families, have a barbecue, the whole bit. So that's the community volunteering part of it. There's also that our member can actually organize fun family events. So whether it's baseball games, sporting events, amusement parks. So that's all done through our community grant program. Last year, through that program, we gave away $5 million to our members in all three countries where we do business. So it's just another way in how Foresters actually proves that we give back to the community. The other thing is that program actually created about 72,000 members and guests enjoyed those fun family events. And we had 37,000 Foresters members volunteer locally in 830 different activities. So it's a really way, a great way for someone to become engaged in the Foresters difference and how we actually give back. So again, another member benefit is that the members can come out and be engaged in our purpose. And they can bring their families and their kids and whoever else their guest is to actually come out to a local event and have fun. So that's kind of a brief overview of Foresters and our member benefits. If you are contracted to do business with us, if you go on to the Easy Biz Producer Portal and you go to the Foresters Difference page, I have what's on there called the Producer Guide for Member Benefits. And it's also orderable on the forms and brochures section. And it actually is your kind of encompassing Bible about everything to do with the member benefits. As well, on the section called State Proof Points, we have about 42 versions. So there is one for Missouri and all over the Midwest that is can be personalized by the agent, and it's consumer facing. And it basically says how Foresters gave back within that particular state. So again, that's on EasyBiz, Foresters Difference section on the top left. And then you can get the Producer Guide to Member Benefits and all of the state proof points. So at this point, we're just going to switch seats, but I'd like to hand this over to David Crawford, who's our senior product manager.
Hi there. Can everyone hear me okay?
Yes, sir.
Sounds good. Thanks, Kaylee. Again, this is David Crawford. I'm the senior product manager here at Foresters. Thanks for giving me some time to talk about our products. I know it sounds like there's a specific interest in plan, right? But what I will do is I'll give you just a quick overview of our current product lineup. Like most insurance companies, we offer products along in whole life, term, and universal life. In our whole life portfolio, that would include, as mentioned, PlanRight. We have Advantage Plus, which is a participating whole life product. And we have Your Legacy, which is a single premium participating whole life product. We will talk about PlanRight in a moment, but very briefly, Advantage Plus, as I mentioned, it's a par whole life product, so it's got the potential for dividends, guaranteed premium. It's available to as a pay to 100 or 20 pay, and we offer it on both a non-medical and fully underwritten basis. Non-med starts as low as 25,000, and it goes up to 250,000, and our medically underwritten starts as low as $100,000 and goes up. There are some variations based on age. Older ages might be able to get the medical at a lower face amount. It's got a number of riders. One of the biggest riders, their most popular riders right now, which is included with no additional premium, is the accelerated death benefit rider, and that's actually available across our term and our whole life and our universal life products. Your Legacy, similar, except it's just a single premium participating whole life. That's probably geared more towards your older clientele, people in their 60s or above, who sort of have some money or are doing some estate planning and sort of want that sort of one-time payment, know they have guaranteed paid-up coverage. We also offer it, though, it starts pretty much at birth. So it's offered on juveniles. And so a grandparent or a parent could potentially just pay $1,500 and get sort of a paid-up life insurance policy for a child. Similarly, again, I should have mentioned on Advantage Plus, that also starts at birth too. So all of our products are our whole life and a universal life. We do underwrite on juveniles. On the universal life side, we have Smart Universal Life. It's fairly standard universal life. It's a cash accumulation with a 10-year no lapse guarantee. Our current interest rate that we're paying is 5.85%, which is within the industry or who we benchmark against is one of the top interest rates, and it's got a guaranteed interest rate of 3%. And it too also has the accelerated death benefit rider, and you can go online with our EasyBiz, and you can get sort of a more details as in comparison to getting the different riders that are available in that product. And then on the term side, we have Life First. That begins at issue age 18, and it's a standard term product. It is also available on a non-med and fully underwritten basis. And it, too, also includes the accelerated death benefit rider and multiple other riders as well. I should mention, too, that Smart UL is also available on a non-med and a med basis. And in our term portfolio, we also have Prepared Accidental Death, and that's essentially for clients who may not really qualify for any type of traditional life insurance, but they want some type of coverage. Accidental death coverage gives them some sense of security. That Prepared product does come with a disability income rider, so it is a potentially a good product. Allows people that extra comfort too if they're concerned if they get hurt or become disabled and want some type of income while they're disabled. Prepared does provide that option. And I realize that was fairly quick, a very, very quick and high level overview, but you can certainly go on EasyBiz, and each product page has a product guide and will give you quick snapshots of sort of the ins and outs of the product, if there's any of those particular ones that appeal to you. I know what we wanted to focus on a bit more was PlanRight. PlanRight is a whole life product, starts at issue age is 50 and can go up to age 85. Even though it's a whole life product, there's no anticipation that dividends are paid on it, so it's essentially similar. Even though it is technically a participating product, we don't pay dividends on it. It's three levels of PlanRight. We have a level benefit, death benefit, a graded death benefit, and a modified death benefit. Level death benefit pays 100% of the face amount in effect. Graded pays either return of premium with 4.5% in year one or two. Or if it's greater, you get 30% of the face amount in year one and 70% of the face amount in year two. And then after year three, you get 100% of the death benefit. And then PlanRight modified, year one, it's return of premium plus 10%. Year two is return of premium plus 10%. And then that should be 10% annual interest. Year two, it's ROP plus 10% annual interest. And in year three, it's 100% of the death benefit. So a lot of that depends on the underwriting. So depending on how the questions are answered on the application, in combination with MIB and RX, your client would either qualify for level graded or modified, and then the death benefit would be based on how they fall into that category. On all three levels, we include a common carrier accidental death rider, which doesn't cost, there's no additional cost or premium. It's included with base coverage. And that's essentially if a client dies on a common carrier, say, such as a plane or a bus or a train, we pay out an additional death benefit. On PlanRight level, we offer, for additional premium, you can get an accidental death rider, which similarly, in the event of any accidental death, will pay out an additional death benefit on the certificate. Face amounts, plan right level, the maximum face amount for ages 50 to 80 is 35, and then 81 to 85 is 15,000. Ungraded, ages 50 to 80 can get a maximum of $20,000 in coverage, and ages 81 to 85 can get $10,000 in coverage. And then unmodified, we offer $15,000 of coverage for ages 50 to 80, but it's not available over age, over age 80. The plan right product really we utilize a very simplified application. It's a 3-page application. I believe there's off the top of my head, I think there's 14 medical questions total. And based on how your client answers the medical questions, we'll tell you at least up front whether they qualify for level graded or modified. The first section has some knockout answers, so depending if they answer, they may not qualify. An example might be if they're in a nursing home, if they answer yes to that question, they wouldn't qualify for any plan right coverage. And then we also utilize MIB. We do an MIB search, and we also do an RX search to determine whether they're medically eligible to apply. But there's no attending physician statement. There's no urinalysis or blood chemistry profile, anything along that nature. So when you're selling plan right, we utilize a service called Aptical. They're a third-party vendor that provides personal health interviews on behalf of foresters. And what that allows is we can offer point-of-sale decision. So when you're in the home with your client, once they've completed the application, you would call Aptical. Aptical will collect some basic information about you as a producer and provide you with a personal health interview number, which you include with the application. They collect some of the basic information from the client, such as their about the client, such as their date of birth, their name, social security number, birth state, height and weight, and their age. And then they'll confirm that with the client, and then they'll basically ask all the medical questions on the application just to confirm those answers. And in the background, what they'll do is they'll run the MIB check, they'll check the height and weight chart, and they'll run an RX report, and they combined all that information with how your client has answered the application questions. And then on average, the phone call is about 12 and a half minutes. They'll be able to tell you on the spot whether your client is medically eligible to apply for plan right and whether it's level graded or modified or whether they've been declined. And at that point, once you submit the application, it'll come in, it gets processed. Here, I believe the average, the service level agreement for an in good order application turnaround time is, I think it's 2 business days. So it's a very quick process. The main selling feature for it is that you can leave the client's home and they can have some level of comfort knowing that they don't have to wait 3 or 4 days to find out whether or not they're covered, or they don't have that waiting period. They can kind of have that comfort level of knowing that, in probably about less than 15 minutes, they can know that they've got coverage, and it takes away that kind of anxiety of waiting or wondering if they're going to get approved, or is the insurance company going to come back and ask for more questions or details. So that's a very high level. I don't know, Kayla, should I take some questions or? Okay, we'll wait till the end to take some questions. But that in a nutshell is our plan right product. And I'll pass it over to Lynn Porter, who is a senior underwriting consultant, who can give you some more information just to see our underwriting process and a particular underwriting on plan right. Just check, is Lynn, are you on the line?
Yeah, we're not hearing anything from Lynn. I see that he's logged in, but I don't see a microphone, so he's not, doesn't have any sound coming in.
Okay, I heard her earlier. Okay.
Let me try to get Lynn. connected. Matt, does anybody have any questions for David and I?
Yeah, I've got a quick question. So Kayla, you touched on that orphan benefit. So does the parent have to be the certificate holder, the insured?
Yes.
Okay. And also, when we look at like the PlanRight application, on the last page on the agent's report, the agent's statement, it asks about a number of people under 25 years of age living in the proposed insured household. Is the purpose of that towards that orphan benefit, or what's that question geared towards?
I think it's a bit of both. I think it's just to get a, so when it comes in the door, we have a sense of how many children are in the household and may or may not qualify for that orphan benefit.
Okay.
But we don't need, they do, it's not a matter of needing names or anything. It's just, it's getting an idea of size of household so that the benefits can have a better idea or sense of how many people might be. Now that's living in the household. That would be for PlanRight, depending on the age, obviously, if the client's like in their 50 or in their early 50s, their likelihood is they probably have children living in a household. If it's a grandparent where they might be in their 70s, it's most likely, usually if the child is living in the household, it would be due to, I guess they would have legal guardianship in that case. So.
Okay. And that actually was my other question. So, parents are alive, but grandma's been the legal guardian since birth. So for the past 10 years, grandma's certificate holder and passes away. Is that eligible for the orphan benefit?
So is there parents, Matt, in your
scenario? I don't know. I mean, let's say the parents have nothing to do with the child. The grandma's been the legal guardian since birth.
Okay, so, I mean, at the end of the day, claims would have to make this decision, but so that's why we've kind of amended it to both parents or sole surviving parent. And the definition of sole surviving parents is the sole person responsible for the maintenance and support of the child. So in this case, if it's the grandmother and she's a member, right, and these kids, like she has up full parental rights over these children, and she's providing sole maintenance and support, and she has the parental rights, and neither one of the parents are like in the picture, mm-hmm. The orphan benefit goes to the legal guardian. So the grandmother would still have to have a legal guardian for those kids.
Correct. Okay. Cause that's something that's very common in the final expense market. If you look at our demographics, you know, for grandparents to have custody, guardianship of those grandkids. So that makes that orphan benefit very, very applicable to many of our clients.
And that's the other reason, to be honest with you, Matt, that we extended the competitive scholarship program mm-hmm. to the children and grandchildren, and if they have legal guardianship, to cover off those cases as well with the competitive scholarship program.
Okay, wonderful.
Yeah. Lynn, do we have you back on yet?
I hope I'm on. Am I on?
Yep, there you go.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, okay. Great. I don't know what happened there, but I could hear everything that you were saying, but I guess somehow it got muted. Thanks for having me on the call this morning, Matt. As David stated, our final expense product is called PlanRight. I think David went over in pretty good detail how the product works. Hello, can you still hear me?
We can hear you now, Lynn.
Okay. For some reason, it keeps giving a message saying that that the phone keeps muting. So I'm not exactly sure what's going on. So hopefully we can get through this. So I'm going to go over a little bit information on how the product is underwritten, and then I can take some questions at the end. As David stated, the application is broken down into three sections. There's part A, B, and C. And they're all on one page of the application. So part A is typically the knockout section. So a question in that area will lead to a decline of the application. The Part B section is what we call the modified section. So a yes answer in that section will lead to a modified decision, which David went over what that implies. And the Part C is the graded section. So a yes answer in the graded section would lead to a graded outcome. All of the applications, all of the plan write applications do go through APTICL. And while the client is on the line with APTICL reviewing the medical questions, APTICL is doing the MIB search for us, and they're doing a prescription history search for us. At the end of the interview, they will combine together the prescription history, the MIB report, the answers to the medical questions, and the client's build, and they will provide a point of sale decision. And I think this makes us a little bit unique in that we don't have a refer to underwriter category. Specifically, we have a decline, which would be either based on build, if the build is outside of the build charts, which are provided. If the client answers a question in section A as yes, that would lead to a decline decision. Or if the prescription history shows medications that would be associated with a condition in Part A, then it will still be a decline outcome. The other outcomes would be level, modified, or graded, and again, could be for a combination of medications that point to a condition in one of those sections, application answers, or the build chart. Our other outcome, which you may get occasionally, would be suspended. And whenever a case is suspended, it's because of an MIB code can't be resolved. So typically what would happen is if somebody has answered no to all the questions on the application and APTICL does the MIB search for us, and it comes back with a code that would be associated with an impairment that's on one of the questions on the application, the interviewer will re-ask that question of the client. So for example, if the client has an MIB code for, let's say, congestive heart failure, the interviewer will re-ask the question that has that impairment within it and give the client an opportunity to change their answer. If the client does change their answer, then they would get the associated decision with that condition. If the answer is a no, the producer would be told that the case is suspended and to send it into Foresters for further processing. So typically, underwriting does not typically see these cases. They're like I said, there's a point of sale decision provided. However, we do offer an appeal process, and we do offer that because we realize we don't have that refer category, and there are some things that just have to be referred, because when you've got decision engines that run things, they're not always 100% perfect. Someone may be taking a medication for an off-label use. We map things according to their most common use, but if someone's taking it for a different reason, then it warrants review. So keep in mind that is something that can be done. And what we suggest that the producer do in a situation like that is use the producer report part of the application or a separate page and indicate to us what the issue is. For example, if the client is taking a medication that we have said we've given a decision, a great decision based on a medication, and the client is saying, no, I don't take it for that reason. I'm taking that medication for this specific reason. Provide that information to us and send it in with the application, and the new business area will forward it to underwriting for review. There are some scenarios where we will come back and say, well, we need a doctor's note. So typically we do ask for some doctor's notes in certain situations. What we try to do is we try and accept something if the explanation makes sense, and we look at the whole picture, we look at MIB codes, we look at medications, we look at doctor's names, doctor's specialties, What other medications are they prescribing? And if the explanation that the client has provided makes sense, then we can make that change without needing a note. Sometimes, however, we will ask for a note, but we will be specific and say, can you obtain a doctor's note from this specific doctor, and this is what it needs to say, or this is the condition that it needs to rule out. I think that's, I guess just with regards to the MIB codes, I should probably give you a little bit more information there. So if a case is suspended because of an MIB code, when the case is sent into new business, they will send an email to the producer and a letter to the client indicating that the case is suspended because of an MIB code that we're unable to resolve. And it will ask the client if they wish to proceed to get a copy of their MIB disclosure. The letter will tell them how to contact MIB to get that information. And typically they can do that by a phone call. MIB will send them a copy of their disclosure, which will show them any codes that have been reported on them for the past 7 years. It will tell them which company reported it, what date they reported it on, and exactly they will decode each thing that has been reported on them. And then that way the client can get an idea of what code may have caused an issue for us. And if they want to proceed, they would need to typically work with the company that reported the code. If they feel the code is an error, foresters can't remove a code that's been MIB coded by another company, but they could work with the company that reported the code. If it's an error and they remove the code, then we can move forward. Typically there's a 2-week period while we wait to see if the client is going to get their disclosure, and if nothing comes in, then the case is closed. But I believe they do hold it for 15 days. If it's going to take longer, all you need to do is let the new business area know that the client is getting their disclosure and doing some other work, so it's going to take a little bit longer. I think that's all I have on the actual underwriting of it. Like I said, it's not really underwritten in the underwriting department, but we do review the appeals. Are there any questions regarding plan write and how it's underwritten?
Lynn, this is Matt. I have a handful of questions here. Does anybody else have any specific underwriting questions for Lynn, first of all? A few questions that I have, Lynn. I mean, it looks to me like the smoking or tobacco question is pretty straightforward because it states tobacco or nicotine in any form. I suppose the one
question
I would have on that, I've run across some e-cigarette users that have 0% nicotine solution. So they're still puffing on a vaporizer, but there is no nicotine involved.
Okay. If there is no nicotine involved, then they can answer that question as no, and they would get non-smoker rates. But if there is nicotine, then we would expect a yes answer.
Okay. Wonderful. Thank you for clearing that up. My next question is, I know that you guys do use some first fill clarifications on some of the medications. And
yeah,
from my observation, that is on blood thinners and on cancer maintenance, tamoxifen, Arimidex, anastrozole, those kinds of medications, to where you look at, as long as the first fill was over the time period stated in the question or the underwriting guide, we're good. Is there any other drugs or classifications that fall under that first fill?
I believe it would just be those blood thinner, and it's only a few of them, and some of the cancer medications, typically breast cancer. And I'm going to kind of explain our position behind that is that let's say somebody had a heart attack 5 years ago and they had their heart surgery and they were put on Plavix as a maintenance drug to be taken indefinitely. Our question regarding heart attack asked in the last 2 years, have you had a heart attack? So we would not want Plavix to put that person into a modified outcome because they're taking it for maintenance. So what we use is we look at the day they first filled the medication as kind of a best guess as to when they maybe had the heart attack. And typically this does usually work very well. If the doctor put them on the Plavix right after the heart attack, then you can use that as your date of onset. So that's how that works. And similarly with breast cancer, we assume that after the surgery and after the chemotherapy, someone might be put on a medication like tamoxifen for a 5-year period. So we, again, we'll look for when did they first start taking it, because that's probably when they finished, had their surgery, had their chemotherapy, maybe finished radiation therapy. So we do look for first fill date. The thing to keep in mind, however, is that prescription history doesn't always give the whole picture. Sometimes there'll be a big gap in someone's prescription history, and we may see some medications in 2011, 2012, and then we'll see a gap for a couple of years where, for some reason, none of their medication is showing on the report, even though we know they're taking medication. And then we'll see like a restart date maybe in January 2013 where all the medications are showing up again. So that kind of sometimes causes problems when you're looking at first fill, because I may pick up a first fill date within 2 years, but really the person has been taking it for 4 or 5 years. So in that situation, we just ask that the agent write down on the producer report or on a piece of paper that, yes, my client has been taking tamoxifen, but she's been taking it for 4 years. She had breast cancer, and she has been cancer-free since whatever date. And again, the underwriter will look at that information in combination with what we see. And if it all makes sense, then we're gonna change the decision.
Wonderful. Thank you for clearing that up. The last underwriting question that I have, if agents have the Forster's medical reference guide, the underwriting guide in front of you, you'll notice on pages 9 and 10 that there are two charts that list combination drugs with different columns. And this is something that I think is very helpful. It's something that I think a lot of carriers actually use internally, but Forster's is the only one that puts that out for us to see, which is a huge help. But Lynn, if you could touch on the drug combo guides for the diabetes and complications, and then also for congestive heart failure, could you give a little bit of an explanation to that?
Sure. Yeah, because congestive heart failure, as you know, is very difficult to discern just based from looking at drugs alone. So over the years, we've refined our position.
Out of the way.
Sorry?
I think that was background. I apologize.
Okay. No problem. So we refined our groupings over the years, and I think we've got something that works fairly good right now. As you stated in the medical reference guide, we do provide a chart on page 9 of one of our congestive heart failure combinations. And essentially, the way this works is that if the client is, we're looking for a 3-drug combination, and these are different classes of medications. So if a client is taking something from list A, which has to, list A has to be included, and then another 2 meds from either list B, C, or D, but not 2 in the same category. So so typically there'll be 3 drug combos, and we are looking for them to be taken concurrently. So there has to be an overlap in them. So we're not going to say that someone is taking this combination because one of the meds hit 5 years ago and 2 of them hit now. They have to be taken at the same time. And in which case it's more likely that it is for congestive heart failure. Again, though, it's not perfect. So in a situation like this, we would want to, if someone was appealing it, we would want a note from the prescribing doctor to say why the medications were prescribed. So we have to address the 3 medications and to also rule out if the person has ever had congestive heart failure. Because sometimes we find that people are taking these kinds of combinations for other reasons that could be an issue, something like liver disease or kidney disease. The other combos we have are diabetes related, and this is because one of the questions in Part B in the modified section asks about complications of diabetes, which includes things like diabetic neuropathy or diabetic nephropathy. So For this, we look for a combination of a diabetes med. We've provided some of the more common ones on the chart, but this would include any diabetes med, and there are many, many, many diabetes meds, so we've only captured some of them here. So we look for a diabetes med in combination with a neuropathy type medication, like a gabapentin, to indicate possible diabetic neuropathy. Again, it's not always perfect because a doctor may have put someone on gabapentin for something totally unrelated to diabetic neuropathy. So in that situation, again, we would just need an explanation of why the gabapentin was prescribed if it's for diabetic neuropathy. And similarly with nephropathy, we're looking for medications that are typically used for kidney disease in combination with a diabetes medication to indicate the client may have diabetic nephropathy.
Wonderful. Thank you for explaining that a little better. Again, for agents, when you look at that, it's on pages 9 and 10, and I think it's very, very helpful when you're running across those situations, and it's something that I think a lot of final expense products among all carriers use a very similar combination guide, but Forrester's is the only one that really tries to make it helpful for agents by putting it out there in front of them and giving them the information they need to, you know, do good field underwriting. So thank you very much for that. Anybody else have any other underwriting questions for Lynn?
Yeah, this is Greg. I just ran into a situation where we used Aptical, and this was a very, very healthy individual, 64 years of age, never smoked, never drank in her life, never had any surgeries nor prescription medication in her entire life. She had surgery, pelvic surgery. And as anyone in the medical profession knows, post-op vomiting, they only give them one thing, and it's ondansetron.
Yes.
But in your thing here, it says only cancer, but we also know that the only thing they can also give them is that for post-op surgery. And so I guess I was concerned why they would just put just for cancer when it's also used for post-op surgery.
Yes.
Vomiting.
Yeah, you're totally right there. It was marketed as a cancer medication, but it is widely used for post-op surgery. So actually our position on that currently, and it has changed over the years, just with the experience of looking at many, many cases, we currently only look for that medication if it's prescribed by an oncologist.
So, and see, here's the thing. It wasn't prescribed. It was never prescribed, because while in the hospital, they didn't prescribe it to her. They just gave it to her without her permission. They said, here, this is what you have to take. And she took it for 1 week, and that was it. But yet Aptical said, no, this is going to be a modified product, and that's it. I called underwriting. They said there's nothing they can do about it. So
okay,
I just,
and was that with Forrester's?
Yes.
Okay, well, maybe after, maybe you could provide me with the case number, because I'd be happy to look at it, because something doesn't sound right there.
Perfect.
We're looking at it from an oncologist only, and we always have that appeal process, so.
Okay, I appreciate it.
If you want to get talk to Matt, and you can get my email address and send me the information, I'll be happy to look at it.
Absolutely, thanks so much.
No problem.
Yep, we'll get that to you when we're done here, Greg. Anybody else? Yep. Any other specific underwriting questions for Lynn? Or any questions back again for Kaylee on Forrester's and general member benefits, or David on product overview or plan right?
Yeah, I just have a quick question again. I took in a lot of that information. She had to get it out as soon as possible. Do you guys have any materials, like maybe online webinars, that can cement it a little bit more into me that it's more comprehensive?
For the member benefits?
Yes.
Yeah. As I had said kind of right after, I have a whole section on EasyBiz, the producer portal, called Forrester's Difference. So each one of the member benefits has, it's written in a way that you could share it with a client. Legal Link, Everyday Money, the Orphan Benefit. Community Granting has an entire section. I have a ton of resources up there. Also, if you're on EasyBiz, there's a section called training, and on that training section is both previously recorded webinars on member benefits as well as community granting. And in the community granting one, I go into much more detail. The other thing is I can leave it up to Matt, but if sometime in the future, in a future call, I can really dive down into any of the specific member benefits that you would like. And I kind of gave you an overview, but if you wanted to do a deeper dive, I'm more than happy to do that. But there are tons of materials and pre-recorded training webinars.
Perfect. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And I can help you find all that too if you have trouble running that down online, Greg. And Kaylee, correct me if I'm wrong, but if I remember right, we can actually pull up a sheet per state, right? So Greg could print out a sheet that shows what was done in the state of California.
Correct.
Yeah, that's something that I thought was really neat. You can pull up your individual state. So when you're visiting with somebody, you can say, look, here's what Foresters did as far as, you know, community, giving back to the community in the state of California last year. So it's pretty neat, all the material they have on there.
And Matt, the other thing is at the bottom of that. So if the gentleman from California pulled it up on his computer, he can type in, I've left kind of, I call it a magic box, but I left a space where you can actually put in, like, for more information, call me, this is my name, my insurance company, email, whatever. And so you can actually use it to distribute. And if anybody's in, you know, out recruiting others or something, you can use these pieces that way. So it's prospecting and everything else, but we allow you to personalize the material.
Wonderful. Thank you very much. Last chance, if anybody has any questions for the three gracious Forester representatives that are with us. Okay, well, I've got a couple other things that are outside of Foresters that we'll cover, but we won't take any more of Lynn, Kaylee, and David any more of your time. Thank you so much for being on with us. I think that was very informative and should be able to provide our agents with a greater comfort level with Foresters going forward. So thank you guys very much, and I hope you have a great weekend.
Thanks, Matt. You too.
Thank you.
Thank you. You too.
All right. Well, I hope everybody found that informative. You know, usually when it comes to giving business to one carrier or another, a lot of times it just comes down to our comfort level, whether it's comfort with the company, how they set, comfort with the new business process, and comfort with the underwriting. But, you know, usually when we can get in and get a little better feel for some of those specific areas, it makes it a lot easier for us and makes us more comfortable in the house. So we're at an hour already. I don't want to hold you guys up too long. Real quick, though, I will open the floor. If anybody has anything they want to cover, questions they want answered as far as leads, appointment setting, presentations, objections, anybody have anything they want to throw out there? Okay. The one thing I will note, all of our training materials have been moved online to our website. So if you go onto our training site, you can find presentations, appointment scripts, audio recordings of appointment setting, our field underwriting guide, everything that we have training wise is now on our website. So to access that, you just go to pacesetteradvantage.com/training. There'll be a button to click. It is password protected. There's a login. The login is just agent-training. It's real simple. So, but on there you can get any information. If you have any trouble accessing any of that, or if you have questions on any of it and you want to expand on anything, feel free to give me or Jerry or Lisa back at the office a call, and be more than happy to walk through with you. Another thing, I would like to congratulate Randy out in the state of Washington, who was our top producer last month for the month of June. Randy's earned a handsome lead discount that he'll have through the whole month of July or for the next 4 weeks here, which will put a couple thousand dollars back in his pocket based on his production. Our lead co-app program, there is a flyer on that on our website too, pacesetteradvantage.com/incentives. But you can see how you can earn lead credits or lead co-op based on your production through us. And again, that's with any and all carriers added together. So it doesn't matter if it's Foresters or AmeriCo or Gerber or Rural Neighbors or American Home Life, whoever it is, we add all that together to get your total production for the month. And then for the next 4 weeks after that, you carry that discount out. So, and that's something that's pretty significant. It can go a long ways towards, you know, lessening your expenses and keeping more money back in your own pocket. So, other than that, if nobody has any questions or anything they want to touch, I just want to thank you guys. I think that was a great and informative call we had today, and hopefully you found it beneficial. But thank you all very much for giving us an hour of your time this morning and joining us. And I hope you all have a great weekend.
Hey, Matt.
Yes, sir.
Might mention what Randy's production was for the month.
I don't even have that in front of me right now.
So it was over 18,000, I believe.
Yeah, I know it was over 20. I think it was closer to 24. So.
Wow. Awesome.
So I know it was over 20, though, because he's going to save quite a bit on his leads for the next 4 weeks.
Okay, great. Great.
Yeah, congratulations, Randy.
Hey, thank you all.
So.
Do it again, Randy.
Thank you.
You bet. So, thanks, everybody.
Yeah, thank you, guys. Have a great weekend.